Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as...
Valkyrie. She should have been gay and they should have made it canon, but because I guess Marvel owns Disney or Disney owns Marvel, all they did was give us like a small taste that Valkyrie from Thor was queer, when in reality is like some girl sacrificed her life for Valkyrie to live and now she's like super like bummed out about it. So I'm thinking, oh, was that her bae? Anyways...
After the fact, lesbianism is bullshit. Somebody from Autostraddle puts it to this particular test where she watches it with her dad. And if her dad reads it as queer, then it counts. And if he doesn't, then it doesn't count.
Oh, which wow. Is really funny. That's interesting.
It's a good idea because he's super straight and whatever, like conservative and shit.
Oh, wow.
So not conservative, but like, you know, just super not, not a millennial. Mm. So I'm like, that's a really good test. Like, watch it with your dad. Do they read it as queer? No, not fucking canon.
Oh, my God.
What up, cabrona?
Whoosh poppin', chingona. What you doing, girl?
Looking at somebody that just followed us on Twitter because I am always distracted.
No, I saw, but yeah. I didn't see anything.
Yeah. Anyways.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man? We just recorded our Patreon episode from last week, so that already happened. If you want to hear that, it was pretty interesting. Actually, we got kind of heated for a minute.
In a good way, yeah.
Yeah, we got passionate.
Patreon.com/CYC podcast.
So
if you want to just hear our ramblings,
just
that
like
actually
our angry ramblings, yes. Too. Just like,
our personal opinions. They are there
on celebrities and shit,
on celebrity culture, on Disney queer culture, like, or its lack of.
Yeah.
But yeah, today we're gonna talk about something super interesting. We're doing like. Badass bitches today.
Bad bitches. I do want to like, have you seen Deadpool?
Yes, I have seen Deadpool too.
I haven't seen it, but I want to see it, and I want to know what non-spoilery info you can give me on the lesbian activity that
do
I
you,
heard.
I mean, it's
happening.
Not really a spoiler. Would you hear happened?
I just heard that like she was there, and that like Deadpool like made fun of it a little bit, but it's okay because it's their relationship, their dynamic.
Yes. So, I don't know if I want to tell you if you don't know.
Like, I know that, like, they're, like, girlfriends officially.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, Negasonic Teenage Warhead has a girlfriend, and I forgot her fucking name. It's pretty cool. It's POC representation. She's actually Asian, and homegirl is a white girl. But that's okay. It's okay.
But she's, like, soft butch, which
she's
cool.
Soft butch. Like, she has, like, no hair. Like, I like, you know, they're showing soft butch representation. It's out there. It's real. That's kind of it, though. They don't really, like, make it, like... a thing. It's kind of treated as just like normal, which I like, but they also don't get a lot of screen time.
Well, that brings up another question, like when I don't know, like so it's kind of becoming a thing, like women who are like, you know, action characters, your typical action characters, we're getting quite a few of them who are like now queer.
Yes, they
which
are.
A couple of them we're talking about today,
talking
actually
about today, yeah. Badass bitches.
I personally love it, but I'm just like, some lesbians are not very active, i.e. me.
I mean I like the idea of like a superhero fucking badass queer person, like Wonder Woman. They kind of tried to do the same thing with her, like her being
after
queer
the
after
oh,
the
God,
fact
please
and
stop.
that makes me upset, because just fucking make these characters queer, you guys. Like, this is gonna help like a little 5-year-old or a little 6-year-old or a little girl who wants to be a badass who also is finding out who she is. That would be super cool to normalize sexuality or fucking queerness as a child, and for it to be on the screen, because sad to say, a lot of people's parents aren't gonna do it, and a lot of their friends aren't gonna do it. They're gonna be surrounded by people who are constantly fucking putting down queerness in society, so you can't help it. You're a kid. You're just surrounded by who you're surrounded by.
Yeah, that was a little mini rant.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. But yeah, I mean, it's. I'm kind of interested in like. I mean, it's Deadpool's like rated R, so
yeah,
like that's why we got her.
We actually got some.
So that's
some
pretty,
lesbians.
That's kind of a bummer.
People.
And it wasn't even like that much.
I mean, and like them, they did the same thing with Deadpool though, but like them saying he's pansexual after the fact too.
Yeah, that too. But yeah. I mean, with Deadpool, like, I guess with his storyline, I don't know. I guess I don't, like, know for sure, like, a lot about it. But from what I've heard, like, with his storyline, it makes sense that, like, they don't really put that as a canon thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because he jokes a lot. He makes a lot of, like, funnies, you know? Yeah. And they are funny. The fucking movie's hilarious. But yeah, it's very, like, all movies, you know, you always want to see yourself. So it's very, like, wish fulfillment, and that's what, like, action movies are, and that's why I fucking love what we're talking about today, because it is wish fulfillment, because, like, you know, they just recently introduced, like, a girl Super Saiyan on Dragon Ball Z.
Are you serious?
They did, dude, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, it was dope, but I've been waiting for this shit my whole life, like, so it's kind of, you know,
I grew up on Dragon Ball Z, so, like, did you watch it in Spanish?
Yes, their voices are funny as fuck, though.
Oh my god, it was so much better in Spanish. I didn't know that. I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah, they brought in, like, actual, like, girl Super Saiyans, which I thought was dope as fuck. We're not just, like, androids anymore, and that's, like, another superhero. Like, I guess we don't necessarily, like, there's gonna be a lot more superheroes coming out, though. Like, Wonder Woman, Captain Marvel's coming out. She's not queer, but at least she's a chick, right? Wasp is coming out. I'm not into the Ant-Man.
I'm not into Ant-Man at all. Like, not even a little bit. I watched the first movie. Trash.
I don't watch any Marvel movies except Thor. Black Panther. But yeah. Thor, like, okay. Like, lesbians have claimed Thor on the internet. Like, he's queer. He's one of us now. We claim him.
Yeah.
But he's a lesbian. He's not, like, you know, he's not a man, nor is he.
Like, I'm confused.
The lesbians have claimed Thor as a lesbian.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think he said to Valkyrie, he was like, I always wanted, because Valkyrie is like this elite force of all women fighters, and he was like, I wanted to be a Valkyrie when I was little, and then I realized they're all women, but he's like, I love y'all. I love fucking action movies, and for them to have, like, there's always been women in the, like, genre, but, like, we're never the leads. We're always getting saved by, like, Jet Li and shit. And it's like, fuck that. Like, what if we want to fight with Jet Li? Like, why can't we be by his side? Or why can't the movie be about us? Like, do you remember that one movie of the all the chicks that were living in, like, this house where they were going to be, like, prostitutes? It's like, it's not, like, Sucker Punch.
Sucker fucking Punch.
Sucker Punch is the shit. That was a
good movie. I like, haven't we talked about it before?
I don't think we have.
I thought we did.
Well, this is in the canon of, like,
yeah, it still works, so chicks. Like, funny. I love that shit. Like, that's, like, chick action heroes, especially queer ones, like, that's they take back their power. It's really cool.
Thank you. It's so dope. Like, Sucker Punch, like, Wonder Woman, Captain Marvel, all the badass women in Black Panther, which is, honestly, they're better to me than actual Black Panther. Like, Okoye, Nakia, Shuri.
Shuri is my fucking favorite, man. Like, man.
I think I love Okoye the most. And M'Baku, because he's a vegetarian. I don't know. He's a man. Anyways, woof. But yeah, so I just feel like this is a time now where they're actually giving women the shine. Like, discounting Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence, because they tried to kind of make that, like, a ripped-off Atomic Blonde, and that was just, like, trash.
I don't think I, like, even know anything about that.
Exactly. That's how bad it was. Like, it was not, it was trash. Like, anything J-Law's been doing after she won her Oscar has been pretty down there.
Sucks. Damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm excited to for this show today. One of these shows is still, or my show is still in season.
So cool.
I don't know. Like, I'm really afraid to talk about it, because I'm like, okay, what if in, like, a couple of episodes they kill off my favorite character, and, like, I'm pissed, you know what I mean?
I don't think they'll kill her off. She's been on there for a while.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but or, like, maybe they kill somebody else off that I like. Yeah. I don't know. But the season 3 of Into the Badlands is kind of going on right now. So, but I'm going to cover it, because I fell in love with it and I love it so much.
It's so those fight scenes. Oh my fucking god.
Yeah, season 3's been suffering a little bit with the action scenes, but the general plot line, I think, is really good, and what it does is really good. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And then, what are you going to talk about today?
Today, I'm going to talk about Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron. Ugh, fucking icon. Fucking movie. I cannot stand this movie more. Like, I fucking love it. Like, okay. Ugh, I'm obsessed.
Ugh. Yeah.
I'm standing.
I have a confession. I watched maybe an hour of it.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I It's not that I didn't like it. I was really sleepy that day, and like it was, you know, like sometimes you're like, I'm sleepy, but I'm gonna finish the movie.
And then you pass out.
And then you have to make a decision. You're like, is it worth me desvelándome, or do I want to go to sleep? Yeah. I went to sleep.
No, I don't blame you, dude. Like, I've done that with Guardians of the Galaxy. I watched the first 30 minutes like 5 times, and I just now saw it yesterday.
Okay.
The first time in my life.
Yeah.
So I understand. I always watched it. The first one, the second one was like
subpar.
Really?
I think.
I watched the first one. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was adorable. But yeah. So who wants to go first?
You.
Okay. Fine. Okay.
You always go first. That's a thing.
I don't.
No, I'm like, you always go first, like, because I want you to go first.
Oh, yeah. No, if you tell me to go, I go.
Yeah.
Okay, so Atomic Blonde came out in 2017. It stars Charlize Theron as this badass, like, triple agent, if that makes sense. This was,
Don't spoil. I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so confusing. it's honestly confusing. It's set in, West and East Berlin in 1989. Never eat soggy waffles. That's why I do Northeast Southwest. It's based in
I live in the waffles.
You live in the waffles. Yes, she lives in, it's based in the East Waffles and the West Waffles of Berlin in 1989, and it was like days before they took down the wall, and this was like maybe a month before I was born, so it's pretty fucking interesting to me. I just want to give a couple background on, like, the producers or the director. It was directed by, I believe his name is David Leitch. Yes, David Leitch. I can't say his name. He's Leitch? The same guy. Leitch? Yeah.
Leaky?
No. Leaky. No, it's L-E-I-T-C-H. You can cut that out. He's actually the director of Deadpool 2. He actually co-directed John Wick. He didn't get the credit because... I think he wasn't in, like, the... I don't know. He just didn't get the credit. He got a producer credit on John Wick. He actually turned down John Wick 2 or 3 to direct Atomic Blonde.
What?
Yeah, and Charlize Theron was apparently been working on developing this for, like, 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, she's also produced this film. So she was deeply involved in the making of it and from, like, production all the way down, because I think she wanted to see this kind of movie made for a minute. All of us have. So it's like James Bond, but like better, because I didn't give a fuck about James Bond, because I was like, who's this British guy bagging chicks and like fucking killing bad Nazi communist dudes? I don't know what the fuck, because I just liked 007 Goldeneye, but I didn't exactly like James Bond. Did you ever watch the James Bond movie?
I watched very few of that, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I don't blame
it's
you.
Kind of really up my alley, or it used to be,
mm-hmm.
but I never watched it.
No, I fucking used to, like, I was forced to watch James Bond. But anyways, not forced, but it was the only thing. Atomic Blonde is, like, the gay James Bond we always wanted, and... Charlize Theron is a fucking, bless you. She's a fucking monument in this. Like, if you forget that bitch had an Oscar, you remember when you watched this. And I didn't mean to call her a bitch. Let me do that again. You can cut out when I call her a bitch.
No, stop making me cut things. I'm just gonna leave it. You can apologize.
Fine.
For her.
I'm sorry, Charlize Theron. You're not a bitch. You're beautiful and amazing. Anyways, her acting probably carried the whole movie. And it had some really good actors in it. It had John Goodman in it, which was fucking weird, but he's...
It had a James McAvoy.
Yeah, very buff and shirtless a lot. like, a lot of Oscar winners and Oscar people have been nominated for Oscars, and it was amazing. And more background on her stunts. She actually, like, trained with John Wick, basically Keanu Reeves, for about... maybe, like, a couple times, and she trained for this, like, really fucking good. Okay, this is where I'm gonna go into my, like, I'm a karate stan, and I taught for, like, 10 years. So, these fight scenes, y'all, you have to understand, she's fighting realistically. Like, she's using her body weight, she's grabbing literally anything. She's fighting, like, 6 or 7 dudes, so... she's not stronger than these dudes, and they're not trying to make the point that she is. And I like a fucking action movie that's, like, I don't know, correct. You know, like, she's a small, skinny lady. So what does she do? She grabs shit. She uses her body weight. A lot of the techniques that she was using while they were punching her were, like, aversions. She was using everyone's body weight against them. And I really fucking appreciated that. Every punch that was swung at her, she swung with it. And it's all about using someone else's inertia against them. So I love this fucking movie. These fight scenes are amazing.
All the action scenes.
All the action, like, scenes.
I remember this very specific scene towards the beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. where she's, like, swinging off of a rope. Like, she ties it on this guy's neck, and she swings it, and she, like, jumps on it, and she uses the swing around and land on another balcony, like, below. But when she lands, you know, everybody always lands perfectly. No, this bitch lands, fucking hits the wall,
yes!
fucking hurts herself, but yes! she fucking lands. Eventually. And I'm like, that's realistic. Like, nobody fucking is, they're not cats, you know what I mean? Like, I did really enjoy that.
Yeah, and you see her getting, like, she's not, like, cleanly killing all these dudes. Like, she's getting the shit beat out of her while she's killing dudes. Like, they're slamming her against walls, and you can see that shit. Like,
car accidents.
She's like, she's going through it. And she's only supposed to be in, like, I think this is over, like, the course of, like, maybe, like, 4 days. And she's getting fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, by the end of it, you just see her with scars and bruises. And I was like, yes, I'm tired of seeing fucking characters walk out of fight scenes without blood, without, like, and they realistically show people getting tired in a fight, because facts, you ever fought someone for 2 minutes straight? After those 2 minutes, that's why boxers have the best conditioning in the world, because even their rounds are only 2 minutes for a reason. You need to breathe, you need a break, you know this. You used to fight.
Trust me, yeah, like those 2 minutes, like 2 minutes,
fuck you, you're up.
Fucking dead, you're, man,
dead, dude. And then imagine, like, fighting for, like, every other movie, every dude's getting through a fight scene como si nada. And her? No. This bitch is tired. There's a scene where, like, at the very end, where, like, her and another dude are just, like, wheezing and coughing and falling on things. They're about to pass out. They're that tired. Because fighting is exhausting. And she just, like, her fight, the way that whoever choreographed these fight scenes, I'm telling you, she's picking up literally anything and just, she got keys and stuck it through some guy's face. And I was like, oh, yes. That is how you really fight as a woman. You will grab anything and stick it through anything and be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And I just, I stand these scenes as a fighter. So I'm just like, oh, this is, she's hitting pressure points. She's hitting the side of the knees. I'm sorry, you guys. No other movie does this. Every other movie just shows you superhero women fighting. This is realistic fighting. You guys could watch this and learn some self-defense. This is all really good self-defense, you guys. Maybe you won't be able to take out 3 dudes. You'll take out 2 and you'll run. But this bitch, this fucking movie. Okay, now to the plot. It's about spies. It's about East and West Berlin and America's involvement in communism and how they wanted to dismantle it. Everyone's basic interest is to dismantle communists for their own benefit, for capitalist benefit. And I don't know, like, I don't know if they made that point very clear, because it was kind of confusing. There was a lot of fucking things going on in the movie. It was like a thing with a watch, and that didn't make any sense to me. I watched it several times, and it took me a while to actually understand the plot.
I think it was like
too much. It was too,
like,
much happening.
Like, it wasn't set up in a way that things wrap up easily.
No, there's lots of questions, and even when you're watching it, like, I'd say maybe just, like, the spy, because this was based off of a comic book called The Coldest City. It's a graphic novel, excuse me. And I feel like maybe to get a clear understanding of what the fuck is really going on, you'd have to read the graphic novel. And again, it's called The Coldest City. And I think maybe they're trying to make more overt statements about politics and communism versus capitalism and how America fucks everything up. But it didn't really pull through there. Like, I really watched it for the action scenes. And also, for the best thing, is that this character is queer. So Charlize Theron's character, she's, I guess, a lot of names because she's a spy. I wouldn't even give her her name. She's the Atomic Blonde. She meets another French spy, and this all was just so good from here.
Like, it was honestly really cute. And like I said, I didn't finish it, mm-hmm. but I got to see all the happy parts.
yeah. I won't spoil that for y'all, but she did meet a Parisian woman or a French woman, and also was someone okay, she's a spy too, and
yeah, they made that pretty clear.
They made it
clear. This is not completely. That's not spoiling it's it. Like the there's still scene. More to go.
This is the first scene.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not spoiling it. And they have like a thing. Like instead of like, you know, why can't the chick just like bag a girl too? Like she's a spy and she's bagging chicks out here. You know, like why can't she do that? Like this is fucking everything I ever wanted as a little girl, you know? Like I was like, yes, she's getting the girl, not that fucking James Bond guy, forget him, like I hate that guy. Yeah. So she bags the girl, and shout out to Charlize Theron, because you can clearly tell she's done this before. I mean, Monster, you know, but this is definitely a very accurate portrayal of her not being her first rodeo, or her second, like the yeah. bitch. I
the
read,
woman.
She's been bagging chicks in somewhere somehow, because this is.
I really
this
like.
It's not entry level career.
It's like it's. I really like their relationship. It was like very like fast. It was like I don't know how to explain it, but it was
well,
like.
I mean, if you're a spy and you got like you think you're gonna die tomorrow.
Where it's like you can tell it was like an instant connection. It was like we're both like, you know, we've had similar experiences. We do similar things, and it was just like instant connection. And then, like, their roles in their relationship were, like, clearly defined really quickly. I like how, like, it was like a puzzle. Like, it fit together and it was done.
They cut out some scenes and some dialogue that explained Delphine's character a lot better. She's actually, like, I think there was, like, real feelings between them. But they're spies, so they can't really express that. But I think there were real feelings because it was so fast. It wasn't just yeah. like a bang.
I mean,
they were
had,
like friends,
one,
you know?
Yeah, they had like, one particular scene where like they're oh, just yeah. laying there, like cuddling and shit. I'm like,
doesn't feel like a James Bond.
I know what
Bond.
It's like to not have feelings. Like, that wasn't
That's
it.
Not, those are feelings. Like, not feelings was the first time where they weren't licking each other and she's like, I'm gonna go. Bye. Mm-hmm. Bye, bitch. And they were straight cuddling. And then what they cut out in that scene, in the deleted scenes, was like, have you ever been in love? And she's like, I think she said something like, I don't think she even answered the question. She just like looked at Delphine in the eye for like seconds. And I was just like, oh my God. And she's like, I don't know.
Oh my God.
Or some shit like that. And Delphine was like, you look different when you don't lie or something.
Yeah. No, that was, like, I saw that in there.
It's in there?
There's at least something where like where Delphine is telling her like, oh, you look different when you tell the truth or something
yeah,
like that,
yeah.
And she's like, oh wow, I won't do that again.
Well, she said something like, I can't
that.
Lose you or something, or like you need to get
oh,
away
okay,
from me.
Okay, so that wasn't in there.
Like there was something that like made it very like, oh whoa, you have feelings for Delphine, like you
wow.
just aren't smashing and cuddling, which you shouldn't cuddle if you're just smashing. You should be like, handshake, good day.
Handshake.
It was nice to meet you, stranger, have a great night, great life,
oh
bye.
Oh gosh, ooh. Anyways.
But yeah, like, their scenes are so sweet, and there was a lot more dialogue that they cut out from them, so if you can, look up the deleted scenes. And
I'm about to.
And you can see, like, James Bond be queer, bad girls, like, this is everything I've ever wanted.
Except
and
better than James Bond, because like they don't always land on their feet.
Mm-mm. She's tired and she's sweating and she's got bruises, and I was like, this is everything I ever wanted. Plot wise, it's confusing. Okay, like I want to say that I understood it. I did not. I had to watch it like 4 or 5 times for me to get the plot, because I was just like fangirling over the fight scenes. But if you want to see a good action movie with a queer woman fucking beating the shit out of like 20 Russian fucking communists, do it. It's lit, because everyone likes watching white guys get beat up, right? Like, we can all agree, like, white bad guys, like,
I'm
we can agree
for it.
We like any bad guy and he's also white, yes, fuck him up, girl. So I give this movie like 4 banduses, because I didn't understand the plot, but literally it's everything else I wanted besides not understanding a confusing ass plot. So
I would give it like 2 cafecitos.
To understand the plot.
The plot bored me. Like,
you're like, what the fuck is happening?
The action was great. It's like these major elements that usually fail on you did amazing, and then the plot is where you were just like, what?
Yeah. They focused on like just the fight scenes and the action in it,
right.
Which honestly, I didn't even need a plot. It could have been something real dumb.
Let's just
plot-wise.
Start a pot of coffee.
Yeah. If you're trying to understand the espionage in this, which I don't. So, yeah, 4
I feel like it's not the most important part of it anyways.
Yeah. So, we're moving on to something that's on right now.
Into the Badlands.
Hey, this show is fucking amazing.
It's pretty good. Like, I was kind of surprised, you know, that I liked it.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, same.
Yeah. It premiered in AMC in 2015, and it's on its third season, like I talked about earlier. Basically, by the time this episode comes out, that season will be halfway through. It's based on a novel written by Wu Chang, and I think it's safe to say that the show has taken some liberties. I haven't read it or anything, but I'm pretty damn sure. Because, you know,
three seasons. It has to, yeah. Yeah. You know, make it commercial.
The show itself was created by Alfred Goh and Miles Miller. But here's what we learned in the first episode, okay? Fucking right off the bat, first episode. Sunny, who's played by Daniel Wu, he's a main character. Yes. He's a warrior, and he, like, serves a baron. A baron is, like, he's like a king to his faction of people.
I don't know. I felt like really like they're like slave owners. It felt very
kind of
very plantation.
It was very weird. The baron that he serves is Quinn. Sunny is known as like the best clipper in the Badlands, which means like he has killed a lot of fucking people, and he's really really good at it, and he has really cheesy tattoos to show it. Everybody in this, like, kills people. Like, that's just what they do. Like, killing is a way of life. It's, like, a futuristic dystopia type of thing. Like, they've outlawed guns.
Yeah,
and technology, like, it's not really around. Like, they have some vehicles. It's kind of weird. But to me, like, the way that I see it, and I don't say this as a dig, but it's, like, a less complicated Game of Thrones. What makes the concept, is like, interesting is that, like, I don't know, maybe just to me, is that, like, guns are not there. It's, like, people are, like, a little bit woke, like, being, like, different or queer or whatever. Like, that's not a big deal. Like, nobody cares. Okay, so the one thing that does persist, like, in this future society is classism. Like, that's always going to be there, mm-hmm. whatever form it takes. The form that it takes here is basically, like, violence and being the best fighter. That's what's valued. Like, your value comes purely in your strength and your savageness. Like, how the more savage and the stronger and more like skilled you are,
the more useful you are to society,
the more likely you are to be a baron yourself. Mm-hmm. Sunny, in the first episode, he saves this young boy and he brings him home to be trained, not knowing that, like, or why this boy was so valuable, why he had to save him from all these people, from another baron, from the widow. The widow is a babe. Anyways, mm-hmm. Sunny has other stuff to worry about. Like, you know, the girl that he got pregnant and wasn't supposed to because he is the second-hand man to the baron. But they're in a cute interracial relationship, and I love it.
Oh, yeah, they are. It's yeah. So cute.
So the boy, MK, he runs away and eventually runs into Tilda. So Tilda's
a boss-ass bitch.
She's everything. She's like, if Arya from Game of Thrones had been trained, like, from jump, like, from the start, and she had been allowed to be, like, exactly what she wanted to be, but she wouldn't have had to go through that, whatever, what do you call it, like, coming of age, whatever the fuck. She was just, that was just who she was.
And it's generally accepted it's okay to be violent.
Yeah. It's okay to, like, be the best fighter in all of the land. So she saves MK, and they cross over into the Widow's Land. And I should also mention that in the second episode, we realized that it's the second episode where we realize that there's badass women, because, like, in the first episode, it's very male-centric, mm-hmm. and that's why a lot of people were turned off, and they're just like, okay, it's another fucking video of, or another fucking show of people, or men, just fighting and shit. Mm-hmm. But no, the second episode, they show, like, women are doing the goddamn thing.
They're boss bitches. It's pretty cool. Oh my god, they let bitches fight. I mean, women.
Women fight. Yeah. But even in this kind of society, they are underestimated. But the thing is that they know how to take advantage of that, yes. which is really fucking cool. Anyways, the widow, she's another badass baron, or she is a badass baron, and she wants to take more control before it's taken from her, which I think is very understandable. So on the following episode, we find out that how Tilda came to be under her mother, like, she calls her mother, even though she's really her, like, boss / slave owner, however you want to look at it. And let's just say that Tilda's dedication to her mother is definitely understandable. I don't want to spoil it, but it's, like, pretty damn emotional and shit. It's pretty fucked.
It's so good, though. It's so good.
Anyways, I want to continue on Tilda. Like, in season 2, I'm not going to spoil the rest of season 1, but season 2, we see her, like, kind of grow into her own even more. Like, she's, like, more ruthless, but she doesn't lose, like, how caring and invested she kind of is in people. She kind of gets the storyline where she and her mother, technically, they help a bunch of, like, a big group of girls escape their abusers because, like, they were part
it's
of, like,
a running trend in the yeah. show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And in particular, she's particularly fond of Odessa. Shout out to Texas. And, whose abusers, like, she personally took care of them. She was like, I'm gonna kill these guys myself. you know, with knives and shit. And with any good storyline, the lines, like, between good and bad are kind of blurred. You know what I mean? Like, the widow, like, I call her a badass and I admire her, but you come to have mixed feelings about her.
She does bad shit.
Everybody does bad shit, but yeah. There's also her intentions. Like, yes, she's taking in a lot of, what would be considered refugees, but she's doing it for her own gain, not for them. So you have mixed feelings. The lines are blurred. It's fine. And then, so Tilda basically starts to see that as well, because Odessa is opening her eyes to that. And she's a little reluctant, but, you know, Odessa has a really good...
It gets real easy, huh?
Yeah, it gets real easy real fast. But yeah. So I love how they, like, handle, like, the transitions and in the relationships and, like, how casual the queerness is, because it's not a big deal. Like, everybody is who they are. Even some of, like, the smaller... There's some other smaller characters that are themed queer, and nobody gives a fuck. But, yeah.
I mean, bans are... Like, guns are banned in this society.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And they also have, like, low-key good chubby rep. Like, Baji.
Mm-hmm.
Baji can kick some ass. He's, like, this big dude who, like, can fight with the rest of them. You know what I mean? It's not like you have to be in shape. Like, no, you have to have the good technique. You know what I mean? You have to, like...
No, I mean, when you're bigger, you're strong as fuck, too. Like, yeah. If you were, like, working out and big, you're strong.
Well, with him in particular, like, he... is from, like, a society, like, a particular faction where they're kind of, like, monks, sort of. Yeah, so cool. They know how to hit you so that you're, like, paralyzed and shit like that. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Atomic Blonde.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, like I said, like, very few people are, like, off limits when it comes to death. So I sort of worry about, like, what's going to happen this season. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or not even just Tilda. But, if you watch this and they're still alive by the time that this episode is out, tweet me and be like, might that they made it. That would be really lovely. But yeah, to conclude, like, my heavy rant on this show. Actually, do you have anything to add? How do you feel about it? I know you watched it before me. I just kind of wanted to add
really
something.
I really appreciate the fighting in this show because they actually focus on technique, at least in season one. Which I did watch the whole thing. In season two, I only watched Tilda. but season one, like, I really, really appreciate the fighting in this. Like, as, like, a fat martial artist or, like, a former martial artist, like, I really appreciate their fights. And I really appreciate the amount of effort that they go into, like, putting the style there. So.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
I should mention, like, they have... It's not all, like, real world. It's not, like, Atomic Blonde where everything's really realistic. They have... Some of them have powers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's where, like, the Game of Thrones-y stuff kind of comes in as well. Because some of them are born with, like, natural powers and they have to train to, like, control it. And, like, they be, like, jumping up buildings and shit, doing crazy Spider-Man shit. So, like, it's pretty interesting. It's definitely over-exaggerated at times. That's kind of a part of its charm, if you think about it.
And I think another interesting thing about Into the Badlands is, like, trying to understand the politics of what the fuck is going on and how it got there. Because it all feels very plantation-y. And it feels like the future, but it feels like maybe, like, some bomb went off and people had to restart their society. And, like, everyone's basing it off of, like, it's very, like, slavery meets, like... post-capitalism, because it's not, it's still capitalist.
Like, people are picking fields and shit.
Yeah, people are still picking things in, like, it's very plantation-y. Like I said, the Baron is just, like, a plantation owner who owns, like, a plot of big-ass land, and everyone there works for him, so it feels very, like, maybe they was set in, like, Georgia or Alabama, and it felt like the South of the United States.
The first season, yeah. Mm-hmm. It changes. I will say that. I know you didn't watch past the first season. The first season... Hell yeah, like, it the first season, very... and especially with, like, Quinn, that particular Baron, mm-hmm. he had a very, like, southern drawl and shit like that.
Yeah.
And his family was very white and all this other stuff.
Very plantation-y.
Yeah. It just changed quite a bit. Like, they veer out of it,
mm-hmm.
I think. But, yeah, it's definitely, like, interesting how they take control and how you get respect. I still think it's, like, kind of cool that it's not so, like, nepotism. It's not so, like, who has the most money. Mm. It's very much, like, who's the most savage.
Yeah, who's going to kill literally everyone. And yeah. I guess, yeah, Precursor is pretty violent.
It's what?
It's pretty violent.
Oh, it's very violent.
Yeah,
it's,
like, if you're not, if you can't do it, gore and, like, that's not too gory, but it's very motherfucking violent.
Yeah, definitely.
People are definitely getting killed for, like, absolutely no reason, so...
And there's, like, some, like, mysticism, too, that you have to get past. You have to, like, suspend reality a good bit in this show. But at the very least, like, the plot, you can follow it. You know what I mean?
It's
you
easy understand. To follow. Mm-hmm. It's not like Atomic Blonde where you're like, what the fuck is happening? No, this shit's pretty clear.
It's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's, that's why I say it's, like, a way less complicated Game of Thrones. Like, people are, they're still trying to take power. They're still fighting. There's still gore. There's, you know, young ones, like, coming out.
It's a lot more fun to watch, too, honestly. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's, like, you don't have to watch it 100 times to understand. I even, like, halfway watched that shit sometimes because I was binging it, and I'm very distracted, and Twitter.com, you know?
Me and my friends downloaded an app just so we could watch each other's reactions while we watched Into the Badlands. Like, that's how much we love it, and just, like, love to watch. Like, you really just kind of get to escape.
Shout out to reaction channels.
Yeah, right? We just get to kind of escape everything that's happening in real life. And you kind of just get to fall into this, like, pretend world where everyone's, like, a badass fighting. And that would be cool. So.
Man, I, like, totally want to, like, be a badass fighter. Like, I always get in that mood, like, after I watch one of these movies. Right? I'm like, oh, I want to do that. And then I go eat pizza in bed.
Yeah, same. Yeah, drink beer. And I'm like, Atomic Blonde, I want to fight like that. But I'm like, I'm hungry and I want candy. Like,
and it's too hot in Texas to even function. So I don't know
how you want to do it. Facts.
Y'all wild in.
So what would you give? Or are you done with, like,
everything? Oh, I would just like to conclude it, basically, mm-hmm. like, why I think it's watchable. Like, there's powerful women in this series. I will say there's, like, just a few people of color. The main character, Daniel Wu, like...
An Asian lead?
What? He's an Asian lead. Like, that's pretty cool. But there's still, like, other than him, there's not a whole lot.
No.
It's, like, very scattered. And then there's a dash of queer representation, which is really nice. And I think that character's has so much potential. She's the Arya of the show. Like, she's just one of the most interesting and well-developed characters. I love... the action on it, like, so if you're into the action, then you're gonna love this shit, even though, like, I will say in the third season in particular, like, sometimes you're just like, this is fake, like, please stop.
Oh no. Yeah.
And it would get kind of frustrating.
They're never tired, is it?
They don't get tired, and
they
then,
land,
like,
perfectly.
You shoot them three times and it's like, what you say, he'll come back to life and shoot him back, like,
oh,
it's
God.
Stupid.
Yeah.
I get particularly frustrated about that, especially, like, if you shot him and he's down, that doesn't mean he's dead. You gotta shoot him in the head. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm very savage when it comes to these things. I'm like, shoot him in the brain.
Or else he's
so that he doesn't
right back
go
up.
And kill your girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I get frustrated about that kind of stuff, if I'm being honest.
No, yeah. It's a fucking good show.
It's still really good. There's a reason that it got a bunch of critical acclaim. And it's in the middle of its third season, so you could, like, catch up and then still have a few more episodes to watch by the time that this is out.
So how many cafecitos do you give it?
Maybe like a half, not even a half. I really like it.
You really?
It keeps you awake for sure.
Yeah, I give it like 3.5 bundles.
What are you dinging it for? I mean, you haven't seen it all.
I haven't seen it all. That's why. I don't like to judge things that I haven't seen yet. And I didn't, season one that I saw, Tilda wasn't queer yet. So, and like... You know, it's a fun show. Like, I don't watch TV. I don't watch TV. And then I watch that, so that means a lot.
Yeah, that's better than nothing.
Yeah, so, like, I'm like 3.5, just because I didn't get to the queer scenes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's interesting. It's just not something that they focus on.
Nah, no. I mean, Asian lead is enough for me. Like, wow, Asian, well, I think he's American. I'm not sure.
They don't focus a lot on any relationships in this?
No. It's about fighting. It's pretty cool.
Whatever. Yeah, it's about taking control.
It's like an anime, but like real with live action. Yeah,
that's
it's a live action anime. That's
really
what it is.
Good way to describe it. Yeah. It has very like anime like.
It's an anime
storylines.
Yeah, no wonder. That's why I like it. It's an anime.
Yeah,
but yeah. So.
What are the new animes on the block?
Girl, I'm still watching Samurai Champloo and Cowboy Bebop and. not much newer shit. So
I think there's like new shit on the block that's like getting people's attention. I just don't know what.
I'm basic. I watch the basic animes. There was a, like, I did watch a jazz anime.
A jazz anime?
Yeah, by the same people who did the music for Cowboy Bebop. They started their own jazz anime. It's just about, like, music.
That's weird.
Yeah, like, school kids that play jazz in 1950s, 1960s Japan. No one else licensed that shit except them. So, like, hipsters playing jazz. And it's the whole thing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We need to do a redo of our anime episode and then, like, go ham at that.
Yeah. I'm down.
But, like, I mean, what are some other movies that you think are, like, have good leads or good storylines that I think there's a lot that goes underrated?
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff that's underrated and POC-led. I think when Black Panther came out, they made a big deal about there not being any black action stars or black superheroes. And it's like, get the fuck out of here. Blade was the fucking shit. Spawn, also the fucking shit. Like, am I missing something? I'm probably missing something fucking cool. Any Jet Li movie you ever watch in a whole fucking life is gonna amazing. Fucking amazing. Romeo Must Die? Come on. Asian and black representation? Aaliyah's in it? Come on. You can't go wrong with Aaliyah.
Yeah, but I mean, all of these movies, for the most part, were like in the 2000 to 2010 range. Am I right?
Oh, no. Romeo Must Die is like 1999, 1998.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Spawn, like, none of it is from this decade.
Yeah, because this decade is trash.
And I think that's maybe the point that they were making. Especially now that Marvel and like DC are like overtaking all of film, and it's really annoying.
Super annoying.
It's like,
I'm tired of seeing white boys save our lives. Give no fucks about that.
Chris, and Chris. I'm tired of you.
All the Chrises fly into space together.
Yeah.
I mean, they are in space, Guardians of the Galaxy.
And the thing is, like, there's so many good things in comics to base stuff out. I mean, that's why I'm glad that we got Black Knight Lightning. There's so many good stuff. Like, the Ultimates, like, that's a whole fucking team, including America Chavez in the more recent series. And you could do so much. And, like, Infinity Wars, you could have done so much. You could have brought in so many people.
I mean, they're going to keep it going. There's going to be Infinity War Part 2, 3, 8, 17. As long as they can milk people for money, they'll go pay.
But that's what kind of sucks. It's just kind
of
like,
I'm tired of Marvel characters. Like,
I'm tired of just huge films like that, period, because I was like trying to watch a movie, but I was like, I don't want to watch Deadpool. I don't want to watch Solo. Everything else sucked because those movies had just come out, and nobody wants to compete with it. And I'm just kind of like, it's like, I had nothing to watch. I had nothing to watch. I was pissed.
Star Wars
Solo, I mean,
no, like Star Wars the main, he's talking about like the new Star Wars, mm-hmm. where homegirl Daisy Ridley is the new lead.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, I actually, yeah, you know what,
that's, and John Boyega's
in it, and with Latino.
Star Wars has been doing pretty good.
What's your boyfriend's name? I don't remember his name. I love him now. I know you do. He watches everything.
The one that was opposite Gael.
No, the guy who was in Star Wars, the one that we shoot with John Boyega. Look him up, Beto.
Oh, Oscar Isaac.
Yes. Oscar Isaac, John Boyega, Daisy Ridley. Oscar Isaac is the new thing. He was in Annihilation, which, oh my fucking god. Go watch Annihilation, guys. I don't know how to say this more.
Unpopular opinion.
Go watch it.
I don't love it.
I fucking loved it. But I'm a sci-fi thing. Like, I'm a sci-fi person. Like, Akira and Annihilation are kind of the same thing, but I read the manga, so Akira the movie is kind of weird. But this fucking movie is amazing, and it's beautiful.
A lot of people really love Annihilation.
I love Annihilation.
I'm not one of those people, but you know what? I think if you do watch it, you get a lot of really fire jokes
and some fire Gina Rodriguez being soft butch.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
That was
too.
Pretty cool. And
Tessa Thompson is just the most adorable little flower, and that I will say that
she is, she's beautiful. But yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Action movies, blood, action movies. I don't know,
any Jet Li movie.
I used to be really big into Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, but he's
hella problematic, but yeah.
Yeah, what's that, Bloodsport? Bloodsport was the
I was
shit.
A kid when I watched this stuff, but
yeah, that's too.
Shouldn't have watched it.
The
did,
shit.
And it was fun.
Bloodsport was amazing. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Cocaine is a hell of a drug, you guys. Jean-Claude Van Damme. Sorry, bro. You should quit.
He was mad.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that about.
I'm going to wrap it up. It's going to be a short episode.
Yeah.
You guys will be okay. You don't want us to do overkill anyways, right? No. Right? I don't know. Okay, guys. Watch Into the Badlands. Watch Atomic Blonde. Atomic Blonde is on HBO. And Into the Badlands on AMC. You do your Googles. I'll try to put in the links where you can find these shows to watch.
CCC. Follow us on CYC Podcast on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CYC Podcast, right?
Yes, CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And on Facebook.com/CYC Pod, because podcast wasn't available, I'm pissed. And for extra content, if you're missing us or if you want extra shit, that's Patreon, patreon.com/CYC Podcast. We have a Snapchat, we never use it.
We're always on the gram. But yeah, on those Patreon episodes, you guys, we'll just fucking talk about whatever you want us to talk about only.
If we don't have anything else going, then we're just like, okay, what do you want to talk about? Okay, cool. We'll do it. We fucking will.
Like, just, and it's cheap. It's like the $1, the $3, and then the $10,
right? Yeah, and you can adjust those prices to your liking. Yeah. And then what else do you have to follow us on?
Rate something. And review us on iTunes, por favor. Send us a review on iTunes. And if you review us, let us know, DM us on Twitter or Instagram, give us your address, we'll send you stickers, because we got a couple left there, and we'll be glad to send them to you once you type in that review and give us that 5-star rating on iTunes.
Yeah, that shit is dope, and you can do that on Stitcher, you can do it on Facebook, you can do it on iTunes. We're now on Spotify for streaming, so if you guys want to listen there...
Yes, we pop in, we're on Spotify.
Yeet.
But yeah,
all right, guys, we're tired.
Yeah.
We gotta go.
Yeah.
All right.
Follow us. What's your personal?
Everywhere. Oh, I'm MYTE Panda on Twitter. I almost said Netflix.
That too. No, I'm playing. And I'm at Fried Babita on Twitter. So if you like our personal ideas and thoughts, follow us there. Thanks so much, guys.
Peace out.
Bye.